You know what's a good name for a character?
What's that?
Arnold Rake.
Arnold Rake?
Yeah. Arnold Rake. Certified public accountant. You know him?
Yeah, he does my taxes.
Yeah, I know. Mr. Rake. Mr. Rake! We're off to a bad start.
Yeah, this is going rough. This well, you know what else is a great name? Dildo.
Dildo? Is that a man's name?
That is a name of Paul Thomas's character as it's credited.
Oh, yeah.
In this week's film.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We've got Dildo and we've got Diapers.
Yes. Although, we'll for whatever reason, Diapers has a name.
Oh, yeah. Michael Diapers Grunbaum. Is... No?
No, that was Andrew Scott.
Yeah, whoever that is. He just popped up on the side of my IMDb page.
Oh, that's what led you down that black hole?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you wonder where what I had been doing?
I mean, I knew you were looking up Andrew Scott. I didn't, and you mentioned...
didn't know who he was, though.
No.
No. And I still really don't. He was in a TV movie called... he was in Band of Brothers. It's John D. Hall. And he's also in one episode. I assume he gets blown to shit.
Yeah, I think that's what happens to people. I don't know.
He was also in Saving Private Ryan, a soldier on the beach. He's an Irish actor who seems to maybe just be dying a lot in World War II stuff.
At least that's where he was typecast earlier in his career.
Yeah. But I did notice he was in a TV movie called Killing Hitler, and his credit is as a sniper. So I hope he got him.
Yes, let's hope.
But, today, dildos, diapers, and the raincoat report.
Yes. Dildos, diapers, and a raincoat. All you need to travel.
Yeah, that's true. You don't even have to make stops if you've got diapers.
Yeah.
You just throw them out the window. You could probably change them, like, on the fly, like, once you get good.
Yeah.
Like, you, like, lift your ass up off the seat. And you're just kind of, like, driving with your knees while you're changing yourself. I think it's probably fine.
Yeah, you're probably right. I didn't consider that.
No. But, of course, this week, we're Boss and we're Jeremy.
This week,
and it is the Raincoat Report, and this week we're watching the right movie.
Yes.
1985, Corporate Affairs. Corporate Assets. All right. I'm done. I think I watched the wrong one again.
Damn it. Yeah, so Corporate Assets is... that is what it is. Yes, that is the correct movie. Okay. There was a moment you laughed and I thought, oh God, did I say the wrong movie?
No, I was just really talking and was on a roll. And I like when I fuck up when I do that. It makes it funnier.
Yeah, from 1985, Corporate Assets, directed by Thomas Paine.
Yeah. Also author of Common Sense. And, other, and one of our founding fathers, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He had a long career and things... got a little seedy towards the end.
Well, you know.
Got to make money.
When you're a founding father, you know, life is your oyster.
Well, and you consider that he's probably like over 250 years old at this point.
When he's making this one, yeah.
So he's probably doing a lot of that 80s coke.
He sure was. And it shows up on the screen. I don't know.
It sure does.
Who is Thomas Paine? Do we know him?
I don't. I recall clicking on his name, and he did Corporate Assets, too, and several other movies, but none that I had heard of.
Okay.
His most recent film was The Big Stinger, a video production from 2003.
Okay, so he directed about 50 films, so respectable.
This appears to be either his debut or the second film of his in 1985.
Okay, yeah. Wet, Wild, and Wicked. Well, I'd say that that's a video, so we'll call this one, like, his debut.
Yeah, his debut film, for sure, then. The Butt Sisters Do Detroit.
Oh, good.
The Flesh Shopping Network? That's probably pretty cool.
I bet that's a lot like Videodrome.
Oh, yeah.
You can get all kinds of, like, strange, like, cubes of flesh and like a system, like a hangar system that's like made of bone and like sinew that like screams. You know, that kind of thing.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's all on TV. It's on the Flesh FSN. I think we should get to that one. That one sounds great.
Maybe we should cover that one instead.
Okay. Well, I didn't watch that one. Did you?
No.
Okay. This one doesn't seem to be... This one seems to be more highly regarded, which I think I would agree with, having not seen this one just yet.
Well, this one has an all-star cast. We have, amongst the gentlemen, Eric Edwards, Robert Kerman, Arbola, Herschel Savage.
Eric Edwards in quite a role, by the way.
Yes, he's something. As is Harry Reams, who plays Bill.
Yeah.
He's got quite a role.
Yes.
We have Jamie Gillis and Paul Thomas as Diapers and Dildo, or Dan and Dildo. We have Francois Papillon, one of the Raincoat Report's favorites.
Yeah.
And another Raincoat favorite in a non-sex role, Bill Margold as a security officer.
Yeah.
But amongst the ladies, we've got Tish Ambrose in the leading role, Sherry St. Clair, Tamara Longley, and of course, Amber Lynn, alongside Rachel Ashley as call girls. They have names, but they don't say them until almost the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's correct. Most of them, I think, are just credited as call girl.
Yeah, Rachel and Amber are credited just as call girl, but they have names. I just don't know what they are.
I think they're in my, they're probably in my notes.
Cool. We'll figure it out.
All right.
But yeah, we've got quite a cast putting together a weird romantic drama slash thriller.
Yeah, it goes through. It has many faces, you know?
It does have many faces.
It's a kind of complex work befitting one of our great national founders.
Yes.
Yeah, that's this is the one I watched by accident a couple weeks ago. I planned to kind of skim over it again just to kind of catch up, and I never did.
Excellent. Well,
I have been like testing myself, though. I'm like, I can vaguely remember the plot. I'm like, what plot details can I pull from my brain? And I was like, what kind of business was it? And that was the first thing. And once I figured that out, it all kind of flowed from there.
Well, I recently watched it, and it feel like it took me over 3 hours to watch and take notes on this thing.
It's a little longer of a film anyway. It's like
an
hour and 40 plus minutes for one of these.
Yeah, and it's plot heavy.
It is plot heavy.
Yeah, I mean, that probably benefits it, but it also makes it annoying to take notes on.
Well, you're the one who wanted to take all the notes on the films.
Well, we'll discuss that further.
Okay.
But, yeah, corporate assets, there's a lot going on here, and we have, our whole cast and crew of... depraved individuals ready to take us on an adventure.
Yeah. I went on an adventure recently.
Oh, yeah?
To the city of Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, yeah. That's like a 4-hour drive?
Yeah. It's far enough away.
Yeah.
I went to see Gwar up in Columbus.
Oh.
Thanks to a friend's Christmas gift. And they also were kind enough to gift me with like a hotel room so I didn't have to drive back at the end of the night.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah, it was sick. It was a sick joke. this was like a horror hotel. I wasn't sure that we were going to get back out of it. It was fine. Like, my first suspicion was when I was trying to look it up and I couldn't like find the name of the place.
Right.
And then I was looking at the reservation, and it kept saying that you'd have, like, the whole house to yourself, and I was like, oh, is it an Airbnb? Even though it was just showing, like, a generic picture of a hotel room.
Okay.
And my brother dug a little deeper and started getting into the reviews, and all the 5-star reviews are fake. They're like, this is a great getaway in the country from the hustle and bustle of city life. It is like in the middle of a strip mall in Columbus. But basically, I guess it seems like some kind of fly-by-night operation. This group has set up in the ruins of like a Comfort Inn. Okay. And are just kind of, I guess, like running like a, it seems like they're running like kind of like a drug hotel. From what I could glean, I got there and they were like, we don't know about you. And it took them forever to find my stuff. And the whole time I'm thinking, I was like, maybe I'm in the wrong hotel, because right next door is a Red Roof Inn that doesn't look much better, but at least has a brand attached to it.
Yeah.
And while I'm doing this, I'm just kind of looking around and noticing like how dingy everything appears. On all the signs from the Comfort Inn era have been left up, but they have just kind of like taped over the Comfort Inn name on all of them. There are these really cool like double layer like chandeliers, like there's like one row of lights and then like another below.
Uh-huh.
And no one has done anything to change those in who knows how long. Like, yeah, the entire upper row on all of them is out, and the rest of them are just kind of flickering. it took about 15 minutes, I think, to get checked in. And you start off down this long hallway that has an adjacent corridor that just stretched on into darkness that I didn't go into. I was like, I'm not going to go there. Like, going about the hotel, I noticed that the clientele mostly just seemed to be, like, single, shiftless men. I was like, there aren't any, like, women or children here. I'm like, this is a place where, like, families stay. Then the room itself was, it was very strange.
Okay.
It just didn't have, like, anything you would normally like associate with the hotel. There was one pillow per bed, but they were like throw pillows. My bed didn't have a blanket. It just had like a sheet and then like that little like strip that you put at the end of the bed, like a hotel, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
My brother did have a blanket, but it was just full of cigarette burns. There was it was just in a general state of disuse. The toilet was partially broken.
How so?
You really had to like jiggle the handle. Like the handle was like pointing up at like 90 degrees. So you really had to jiggle it to fight it. The drawer in the desk was just hanging on by a thread just on its own when we got in there. It seems that no one had ever cleaned this room. It was very, very dirty. And it also had a door with the adjoining room, which I was not happy about.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, we're going to get picked off in the middle of the night. But, and I had a terrible night's sleep on top of it all. I woke up like every 2 hours because it just kept getting colder and colder through the night. And all I had was a sheet. So I had to steal my brother's sheet that he wasn't using because he had a real blanket.
Yeah.
But I lived in the end. It was just not the kind of hotel experience I'd really had before. But
maybe it's a fitting hotel experience after you've seen Gwar.
Yeah, once I was like, well, you know, I've slept like rough before, you know, I've been in some places. After I'd kind of adjusted to the shock, I was like, this place is just fine for me. My biggest regret, and I think, was just that I only had one pillow. I like a lot of pillows.
Okay.
Or at least two, you know? And I like them to be a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Not dilapidated. Anyway, that was my trip to the horror hotel. It was fine.
Perhaps the horror hotel needs to better take advantage of its corporate assets.
I think so. I think that they've got a lot of capital that they're not using. I think that they should
buy some pillows.
I think they should buy some pillows and have a cleaning person.
Just one.
They did have a cleaning person. I really don't know what they did. Not much. I guess when your clients are mostly there just to kind of pass out after doing fentanyl, you don't really need to focus that much on cleanliness.
Yeah, I guess not.
I just a very baffling place to end up, I think, ultimately. The whole thing reeked of a scam. And it was beautiful. You know?
So yeah, with that in mind, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back to talk a little bit more about corporate assets.
Fucking cunt. You just couldn't wait to destroy that nice old man just to kiss a little fucking ass with JW. That is the kind of fucking slut that you are! You know it! I won't leave you!
Hey, listen, honey. If you're gonna be a whore, then you be a whore. Quit pretending to be Robin Hood. I'm in it for the money, and that's all that matters, and I'll fuck anybody to get it. Do you understand me?
Yeah, and what about us? Yeah, what about us? Someday you're gonna fuck us up, aren't you? God.
Yeah, let God handle it. Let go and let God. That's my policy on stealing.
God told me to...
steal?
Kill.
Oh, God told me to steal. He said it was fine. He said that he was just joshing when he came up with that commandment. And he said it was totally cool, like, as long as you're stealing from somewhere big. Like a major chain. Major hardware chain, even.
Right.
You know? They can't stop you, and they don't know how. Because if you just steal stuff that fits in your pockets, they're not legally allowed to look in your pockets.
Oh.
I think.
I don't know.
I don't know much about the corporate world. I don't know their policies. I don't know what's acceptable.
Well, we're going to learn today, I think.
I hope so. I hope that this can help me further my career.
Yeah, I don't know that I would look to this for that sort of advice, but I don't know. I guess it's something different, at least, for you.
Yeah, it's a new career path. It's a career opportunity.
So we see, what's happening? Oh, I was scrolled down in my notes, not at the beginning.
Oh, okay. Well, just kick us off just wherever you scrolled into. Yeah. That's fine.
So we open with some piano music playing, and we see a shot of Jill the Madam, as she's credited, played by Tish Ambrose. She's looking out the window of an office building into the night sky. As the camera pulls out, we see her sit at a desk and begin to write a letter. "Dear Winston," she writes, "I so much enjoyed your last letter." She talks about how Winston had rescued a rabbit with a broken leg, and she started to compare herself to that rabbit in some
strange way. She's like a caught little rabbit, you know? They broke her leg and forced her to be a corporate prostitute.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they do with rabbits.
Oh.
That's why they made Bugs Bunny dress up that way, to psyop us into thinking rabbits were sexy.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, well, it's a deeper level that I'm operating on, as you know.
It's some 4D chess.
Yeah. It's more like 4D, what's a game I like? Super Mario World.
Oh, okay. That's 4D pretty
Super
cool.
Mario. Yeah, it's crazy trying to get anywhere, because you're also moving through time. And the problem with that game is that it is timed. So if you fuck around in time long enough, you can't ever come back out.
And also, you got to make sure you don't get squashed by a thwomp.
Yeah, those are everywhere. They can travel and they have an X, Y, and Z axis when I'm playing. They go up, down, all around, and they chase you through time. Anyway, sorry.
In her letter, Jill says to Winston that she doesn't know what she would do without him. She mentions it's strange that she can be in a city with so many people and yet feel so lonely.
Aww.
A man walks in, a man played by Robert Bullock. He asks what she's doing in his office, and she tosses aside the silk robe she's wearing to reveal she's wearing nothing underneath. She says, "Greetings from the chairman of the board. Congratulations, you've met and exceeded your quarterly sales projections." So Robert here says that he heard of this sort of thing, but he didn't think it was real. He sits back in his chair, and Jill pulls out his cock and begins to suck and stroke it. He stammers about how his wife doesn't do this often as she sucks away. We can see some sort of sales graph drawn on her back, like in marker.
Yeah, you see that the line goes up, and that's good.
Yeah. He moans hard as she continues to suck away. She sucks and strokes more until he starts to moan that he's coming, and we see him erupt with a load that splashes onto his suit, pants, and vest.
Yeah, he's going to have to go get it dry cleaned.
Yes. She tells him it was very tasty. So we see Jill leaving that office, and she runs into a couple of other ladies in feathery masks. The ladies tell her that the top salesman was Bill again, and he was, and because Bill was starting to get bored of them, they're trying to spice things up.
Mm-hmm. Thought we were in bird masks.
So this is Amber Lynn and Rachel Ashley, whose characters have names that aren't said till the end of the movie, but they're both credited as Call Girl.
Yes.
So I'm just going to refer to them by their actress names because they gave us so little to work with.
I think you should. I think one of them might be named Babette.
Neither of them is Babette.
Okay, that's a different character.
Babette's the other lady.
Okay. In my notes, I have names.
Okay.
And no reference points. I'm just trying to guess. I'm helping you.
We'll piece this together one way or another.
Yeah.
So the ladies tell Jill that the boss wants to talk to her as they walk away. And they arrive in Bill's office. He's on the phone first, arguing with his wife about the house they live in. He wraps up his conversation as the ladies walk into the office. They tell him that they want his cock and balls as he toys with a pill bottle in his hands. He tells them not tonight, but they're very insistent. So Amber Lynn and Rachel Ashley here drag Bill onto his desk and start to undress him, one sucking his cock and the other straddling his face. We cut to Jill doing her makeup as she stands outside the office of J.W. Severson, as it says on the door, although he is credited as J.W. Sheeves.
Oh. Well, you know. He had it changed at Ellis Island.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was born here and then went to visit, and they changed it. They're like, no, that's not American enough.
Yeah, but he likes to put his original name on his office door.
Well, he put the name on there first, and then...
Oh.
Yeah, he became a big businessman first. Then he went to Ellis Island, like, just for, like, a day trip. And one of the guys there changed his name. You know? That's just how it used to be in this country. That's how they changed my last name.
Oh.
My grandpa went into the military, and they used to spell our last name a different way. But then the government spelled it a different way on his forms, and he just kind of rolled with it. And it's just that easy.
It's just that easy. It's just a clerical error.
Yeah, it's a clerical error, and it changes your entire destiny.
So Jill knocks on this door, and we cut inside to see JW, played by R. Bola, already getting a BJ from Babette, played by Sherry St. Clair.
Here we go.
He tells her to get up and bends her over his desk, mounting her in a standing doggy position before telling Jill to come in. So Jill walks in to see him fucking this lady here, and he introduces her, Babette, to Jill. She looks over to Jill and says with a bit of disdain in her voice, "So you're the den mother?" So JW withdraws himself from Babette and tells Jill to take over for him, and tells Babette to lay on the desk. So Jill gets down and starts to go down on Babette, as she whines to JW, asking how she doesn't know that she has diseases.
She's got such a bad attitude for someone who's new to the job.
Yeah, and they haven't even given her that much reason for a bad attitude yet.
No, some
she soon will.
Some people are just like that.
Yeah. Jill responds to this by biting at Babette's labia and telling her that she likes her pussy served with a side of silence. Jill starts to tongue Babette's clit as JW pours some brown and watches on as he drinks and smokes. Back in Bill's office, the ladies are taking turns sucking his cock as he keeps rubbing his side and chest and making pained looks on his face. Rachel sucks her own nipples a bit as Amber sucks Bill's cock. And then she takes her turn on the teacher's rod. Bill continues to grimace and hold his chest.
He's dying.
Rachel strokes his cock, making him erupt with a big load, but he gasps and holds his chest. The ladies say that ought to hold you until next month, but that's when they realize that Bill is having a cardiac event.
Yeah, they're killing him.
He asks for his
and
pills.
And the music during the scene sounds like Goblin.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of good like 80s synth music in this, and it doesn't all quite fit the scenes it's in, but I like it.
Yeah, it's quite something. So yeah, Bill asks for his pills, and the ladies bring them to Bill, which seems to save his life. The ladies ask why he didn't tell them, and Bill says that no one knows about his heart issues. He doesn't want anybody to use it against him.
Yeah.
This is the 80s, where if you have heart problems, you're weak.
Yeah, if you have any kind of problem, you're weak, and they'll use it against you, and then you won't get to have sex with the owl girls.
Yeah. So Bill pleads with the ladies not to tell JW about this. He says he needs a couple more years until he retires. Amber assures him not to worry, but Rachel looks on with a scowl on her face. Back in JW's office, Jill is still going down on Babette on his desk. JW puts his cock in Babette's mouth and is getting sucked as this continues. Rachel and Amber knock on JW's door and make their way into his office, sitting on the couch and watching as he fucks Babette's mouth. JW soon pulls out and Babette strokes his load onto her face. JW then tells Jill to lick this up, and he yells for her to do it now, in a demanding tone.
Mm-hmm.
And Jill licks the cum off Babette's face.
Good. We love to see it.
Jill and all the ladies join JW around his couch. He tells Jill that Babette is joining the family and to show her the ropes. He adds that this weekend they're having some special guests. Former employees who are having a reunion. Amber calls out, oh, dildos and diapers.
Ah.
JW tells her that's no way to speak about the Secretary of State and the chief counsel to the president.
Yeah.
He threatens...
President Ronald Reagan.
Yes.
So this would be George Shultz, I think, was his Secretary of State. Or maybe it was his chief counsel. I wrote the name George Shultz down in my notes weeks ago. But I think we all know who they're talking about.
Right.
You know? Our government's full of perverts. High-powered perverts.
Perverted porno zones.
JW threatens that if she speaks like that again, he'll give her to Louie for a month. Babette asks, who's Louie? Which leads to JW picking up the phone and calling Louie into the room. So in walks Louie, Herschel Savage.
Yes.
JW introduces Louie to Babette and tells him to escort her home and tell her the rules and the dangers of breaking them. Louis says yes, sir, and gives a sly grin before leading Babette out of the room. Rachel then tells JW that they had a little problem with Saunders today, referring to Bill. We then cut to Jill, Amber, and Rachel in the back of a limo, and Amber starts to scream at Rachel, saying she just couldn't ruin that nice old man's career like that just to suck up to JW.
Yeah, but that's what she did.
Rachel screams back that if Amber's going to be a whore, be a whore. She tells her not to be Robin Hood and makes it clear that she's in this for the money. Jill asks Rachel, what about us? Adding that she thinks one day Rachel's going to turn on them too. Isn't it lonely enough out there? We've got to stick together, Jill says. She tells Amber to keep her mouth shut or she's going to tell JW that she's fucking Billy's brains out. Rachel and Jill leave the limo once parked, but Amber invites the limo driver, Billy,
yes,
that was just referenced, played by Francois.
Yes, here he is.
She invites him into the backseat of the limo. They make out a bit, and Billy tells Amber that he loves her. She tells him that they should take their clothes off, which is probably a good idea. Soon enough, Billy's fucking Amber doggy style in the backseat of this limo. He's really slamming it into her here for a minute as she's rocking back and forth. He's like fucking her in an almost prone doggy position.
He sure is.
They shift and Amber lays on her back in the seat and Billy fucks her missionary for a bit. We cut to Amber riding Billy in a sitting cowgirl position on the seats. And then Amber dismounts and sucks and strokes Billy's cock for a bit until he splashes out a big load. Amber strokes his cock more and licks up some of his cum. We cut to Jill walking inside with some mail and catching Rachel smoking a J and drinking champagne. Rachel tells Jill that she did a lot for Saunders too, and she resents Amber's goody-two-shoes attitude. She asks why she can't accept who she is, and Jill tells Rachel that she's still young. Jill is looking at a letter, and Rachel asks her to tell her about this Boy Scout she's getting letters from. She asks how long this has been going on, and Jill tells her it's been 12 years. Rachel says that's longer than a marriage, and asks Jill, have you ever thought about... Jill stops and says she doesn't want to fuck him, because then he'll just be another man. Rachel asks how this all started, and Jill explains that he and her brother were in the same military outfit in Vietnam. They were both captured.
Oh, this is kicking off a theme for the next couple of weeks, by the way.
They were both captured, and Jill's brother was killed trying to escape. So Winston, the man in the letters, wrote her a letter telling her about it and how much he loved her brother. She says that she guessed he had no family, really, so he kept writing to her. And now it's all she has to look forward to. Rachel says that can't be true. She tells Jill that she lives like a queen and spends nothing, letting it all add up. Jill says she has no one to spend it on, though. The ladies share a crying embrace, and then Jill walks off.
This movie gets very, like, Lifetime at points.
Yes.
Somewhere like the Cecil Howard kind of energy.
Yeah.
Things get a little dramatic. This movie does it all.
Really does. We cut to Babette blowing Louie as he sits on the floor. He's telling her about how she needs to be a team player and to learn her role. Suddenly, he yells, ow, and jumps up screaming. He pins her to the ground as she struggles, and he calls her a bitch and such.
Yeah, and this is about when I realized I was watching the wrong film the first time.
Jill hears this ruckus as she walks down the hallway. Louie leans over and grabs a chair, breaking it over Babette's ass.
Yes, that was the exact moment. You all thought I was talking about something that happened in real life.
He's telling her about how she needs to be a... Oh, no, wait. Shit.
I mean, he is doing that sort of at the same time. He's reinforcing it with the chair.
Jill
negative
hears...
Negative reinforcement.
Yes. Jill hears the screaming and crashing and stops to listen outside the door in the hallway. Seems a bit conflicted, but then just walks away and returns to her room.
Yeah, you know.
She's looking at the letters, ignoring the background screens.
She's dissociating into a world of where she gets to marry a psycho nom vet.
Jill lays down in the bed and she reads. We hear Eric Edwards' voice narrating the letter. As she reads, Jill caresses herself. Winston says he's been waiting on her every letter and finally admits that he loves her and apologizes for being so bold as to say that. Jill seems very satisfied by the letter, but is again distracted by Babette screaming in the other room. So we see Louie fucking Babette doggy style. He asks if she's ever been fucked in the ass. She says no, but Louis says that's something she shouldn't miss. So then he just crams his cock in her ass as she cries out. He tells her that she loves that. As he's fucking her, he says maybe he should have used some grease. Maybe next time.
Maybe next time.
So he is a...
Louis's a bad man.
He's not a good guy.
He's not a good guy. He's like their like enforcer.
Yeah.
Breaks all the girls in.
Louis tells her that she's learning to enjoy herself and be part of a team now. He announces that he's going to come and pushes her down on the bed and strokes coming on her ass. Louis says she's a great lover. She's frozen on the bed and Louis tells her not to catch a cold and blows a kiss as he walks away. Babette collapses onto the floor, clearly traumatized by the situation.
Yes.
Soon after, she's joined by Jill, who finds her crying on the floor. Jill comforts Babette and tells her she's going to be okay. Babette tells her not to touch her and says that Jill's going to hurt her like everyone else. She continues to comfort Babette and caress her, and she finally relaxes. You see her lips busted open.
Yeah, it's a very stark depiction of sexual violence and its aftermath.
Yes.
And it doesn't, like, come, I guess, totally out of nowhere, but it's definitely one of those things when you put it into, like, an adult film, you risk the, you run the risk of killing someone's boner.
Right.
I don't know. It's just one of those things that's, you don't see it too often, you know?
No.
Probably for good reason.
Yeah.
I think it maybe does take you out of the film a bit.
Yes.
When you're like, oh, hey, this is sad and real. But maybe it also adds depth.
Yeah, it's a careful choice you have to make when you're making a porno.
Yeah.
You have to be very careful. Can you sacrifice boners in the middle of the film?
Yeah. Can you kill the momentum that way? Will you ever be able to get it back? I don't know. Let's find out.
Babette says that she's going to kill him. Jill tells her tomorrow she can kill him. Tonight she's going to sleep. So Jill feeds Babette some pills. And Jill goes to leave and Babette pleads for Jill not to leave her, rambling about how he's going to come back and kill her. So Jill cradles Babette on the floor. We fade out and fade in to some shots of some wide open hills, and then we see Winston, Eric Edwards, pulling a rabbit out of a cage. He's setting the rabbit loose as he's visited by Phil, played by Nick Random, who I think is his sassy therapist?
Yeah, something like that. He's like...
I don't know if he's his therapist or just like maybe he's a veteran too.
I think he's like a veteran or something, or maybe he's like a park ranger now.
Well, Eric, I think, or Winston, I think, is a park ranger.
Okay, all right.
This other guy,
he's probably a veteran therapist.
Yeah.
I think they're, you know, band of brothers, just like Andrew Scott.
Yeah, I was just trying to figure out if he was actually a therapist or if he was just like his buddy that he was relying on for help.
I couldn't tell if his name was Bill or Phil at first, and I was like, this movie can't have two Bills.
Two Bills and a Billy.
Yeah, that's too much.
So Phil asks Winston about the dream he's been having, and Winston confirms it hasn't gone away. Phil then asks about Jill, and Winston produces a letter and says that she said that she loves him too. Phil says it's been a long time since Winston's allowed anyone to get close to him. Winston tells him he's scared.
You just saw too many friends die.
Yeah.
Another strange line in an adult film.
Winston says he wants her, but... And this is interrupted by some bubblegum hijinks from Phil, who's trying to blow a big bubble. He tells Winston that he used to chew gum a lot as a kid, and he gave it up for years. But the first time he put a stick in his mouth as an adult, it came right back to him. He says that's the same thing with love and with sex.
Oh.
Yeah, just stick your tongue out and blow, Winston jokes. Winston says that he hasn't been able to get it up. And Phil tells Winston there's nothing wrong with him physically. He just saw too many of his friends die.
Yeah, that's... and it's destroyed his ability to get a boner.
Phil says, when you stop feeling, you stop fucking. Phil suggests Winston go see her. Winston's worried that she won't like him. Phil says she told him she loves him. But Winston says she just loves the guy in the letters. Phil reminds Winston that he was the guy who wrote the letters. Phil finally says all right and makes a comment that it'd be a real pity to lose this dream of his he's having after all.
Mm-hmm.
And Phil drives away. We cut back to the ladies standing around and smoking as a car pulls up. We see JW get out of a car and start chatting with these visiting men, Paul Thomas and Jamie Gillis.
Yes, our Secretary of State or something, and the President's Counsel.
Yes. The gentlemen make their way to the ladies where they're introduced to the newest face, Babette. Babette asks, which one's dildo and which one's diapers?
Uh-oh.
The guys awkwardly laugh, but Louie grabs Babette and drags her away. JW offers everyone a drink and leads them inside. Jill stops before walking in and tells Babette, you fool. Inside, we see JW walk up to Babette and scream in her face, telling her she's going to regret that. Babette smiles and says, I've already been fucked in the ass. What else can you do to me? JW seems flustered with this and storms off. We cut to the guys and ladies at a table sharing drinks. PT here, Dildo, makes some cheeky toast to politics. Amber starts talking about how she heard they were going to bob for apples and other things.
Uh-oh.
Rachel tells Amber that she dropped her earring under the table and suggests that Amber help her look for it. So the ladies all climb under the table and the men share some glances. Under the table, Rachel is blowing Jamie Gillis, Dan here. On the other side of the table, Amber is blowing Dildo and stroking his cock as well. JW proposes another toast to his favorite lady, Jill. The guys agree to this toast as the other ladies continue to work their cocks under the table. Dan finishes on Rachel's tongue and lips. We cut to the group at the table later, enjoying cake. They're talking about a situation in keto and how it may be impacting an investment they made.
Uh-oh.
JW is asking Dan for some good news, and Dan says the U.S. will always protect American companies abroad.
That's true.
JW suggests that they retire to the living room, or the playroom.
Ah, yes.
Amber, Rachel, Jill, Dan, and Dildo all sit around on a big couch, and JW tells them that he arranged some entertainment. So then Babette is dragged in by Louie. She's bottomless and stifling tears, and starts to recite the Good Ship Lollipop song, but only able to really stammer it out in sobs.
Yes. This is horrible.
She's holding a penis-shaped sucker. After a moment of this, she collapses onto the floor crying before Jill rushes in to help her, pushing Louie away from her. The guests are not impressed with this. As they walk out, Dan tells JW that an apology would have been sufficient.
Yeah. They don't like all this weird humiliation stuff.
Yeah.
They're just regular...
regular deviants.
Yeah, they're just regular deviants. They're not...
They're just evil in that they're Republican sort of way.
Yeah, they're not doing, like, too much crazy stuff, you know? They don't want to go to, like, the little temple on Epstein's Island and do whatever he was up to.
Right.
They just want to be diapered and dildoed.
Yeah.
As is their right as Americans.
So we see outside the ladies and the guests are in the pool and the guys are getting blown by the ladies. JW sits at poolside with Jill. He tells her she's been with him for a long time, and really since the beginning, and he's never had to say anything about her work. He says that he thought about them as a team, and adds that he tried to show her with her check. He continues the conversation by starting to talk about Babette, but Jill looks at him with disgust and jumps into the pool and swims away. Meanwhile, we cut to Dan on a bed getting diapered by Jill and Babette.
Oh no.
Unfortunately, he apparently wets himself, which leads to him sucking on Jill's breast.
No.
In the other room, P.T., Dildo here, walks in as Amber and Rachel are waiting for him. He's wearing a robe and tosses it aside, revealing his tuxedo banana hammock and a couple of dildos that he has in the waistband.
Yeah, he's kind of holstered them. Like he's like a, he's got a gunslinger. I think it's much more respectable to be dildo than diaper.
Yes.
And thank you for kind of just pushing through the diaper stuff without getting too detailed. Because definitely someone says, who's going to fuck the baby?
We haven't gotten to that part yet. No, I definitely have that in my notes.
Damn it. I thought we'd gotten through it. I wrote no one. All right. God damn it. My notes are terrible. I need to do a better job.
So looking at the dildos, Rachel tells him, those things are loaded. You might blow your toes off. So he draws his dildos like guns and the ladies go for his schlong.
Oh, yeah.
In the other room, Jill and Babette are blowing Dan.
Stop it.
He thrusts into Babette's mouth a bit. Dan begs for mommy to fuck him. Ugh. And so Jill mounts him cowgirl and starts to ride as Babette bounces a little ball on the bed nearby playing jacks.
Yeah, she's playing jacks. This seems to be like kind of like a recurring motif because she is doing this later in the film.
Yeah, I think that this is just the way
like
that...
signal that she's had like a psychotic break.
Yes, I think that's like, what it is.
Okay. I mean, I kind of got that and it works, but at first I was a little... I thought it was just baby stuff.
Yeah, well, I think it might also be that, but like she's regressed in age or something.
Yeah, she's... I think you're right. That's good filmmaking, you know?
But it's odd that she was already named Babette.
Yeah, they were they're forecasting it. Well, Arbolo's in a black... It's like office is like a black room, and he's like evil, so... You know, there's a lot of stuff that's pretty like symbolic and obvious going on in this film. I like it.
We cut to Dan fucking Babette as she lays back on the bed. He's fucking her and puts a finger in her mouth, and apparently she bites it, and he pushes her away. Jill offers to kiss it and make it better, and has Babette come and kiss his cock to make it feel better. So she sucks his cock for a bit, and eventually he strokes and comes on Babette's lips and tongue. We cut to Dildo fucking Amber and Rachel with his vibrating dildos. They're side by side in doggy position.
I think at one point in the scene, do you see a crew member just kind of hanging out on the side?
I think I might have seen a crew member.
There was like
in
someone
scene,
like bending over, maybe like setting something up.
Yeah,
you see like another dude's crack, and I was like, "There's no other man in this scene."
We cut to him fucking Amber doggy style as Rachel fucks herself with a dildo. And then Amber goes down on Rachel as Dildo fucks her. We then see Dildo fucking Amber and holding Rachel up in the air, eating her out as she lays back upside down. Mm-hmm. Some highly acrobatic fuck work here.
Yeah, there's been some acrobatic fuck work. There were some standing 69s and liquid assets.
Yeah, these asset films.
They really
bring the assets.
Yeah.
Eventually, he pulls out and comes on Amber's ass and makes out with Rachel. We cut to Jill smoking as Babette plays jacks. Dan calls out, "Ready!" and Jill tells Babette to go in there and do as she told her. So, we hear the sound of water, perhaps Dan peeing, and Babette claps and cheers.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in there. It's like Dracula sucks. There's probably some water sports stuff. We just never get to see it.
Yeah. We cut to Winston in bed, tossing and turning. And then we see his nightmare, him in the woods on top of a woman. Then the sound of a gunshot. And Winston sitting up horrified in the bed.
Yes. That's what he did in Nam.
We cut to morning and Jill's laying in bed, Babette sitting on the floor still playing jacks. Dan walks into the room and tells Jill thanks and that he'll see her next year. Suddenly, Jill gets a phone call and panics. She tells the person on the other end, "Tell him I'll be right there, and don't let him speak to anyone." So we cut to an office building and see Winston sitting in the chair of a security room, where Bill Margold appears to be in charge. Winston stands up and Bill tells him that he can't let him leave until Miss Jameson arrives. Winston tells him that if they can't find a secretary in half an hour, they never will. Just then, he comes face to face with Jill, who walks in. After some witty banter with security, Jill leads Winston out of the office and into an elevator. As the elevator door closes, we see Bill Margold and Louis watching him leave.
Louis, rather. Yeah, what are they planning? Like, they had three security guards on this guy.
Yeah.
They probably know about them. They probably read these letters. They know he's a psycho vet. They got to keep him covered.
We cut to Winston and Jill in a restaurant. He just got into town 3 hours ago and says that he wanted to see her before he could change his mind. He lights a cigarette for her and nurses his drink. He looks at her awkwardly, and when pressed, he explains that he would have been more scared to meet her if he realized that she was so beautiful. Meanwhile, Louis and another dude are spying on them at the bar. She asks him if there's anywhere that he wants to go while he's in town. He's shy about admitting it, but he finally mentions that he always wanted to go to Disneyland.
That's an insane place to want to go after you raped and killed a Vietnamese woman. And also, they definitely don't get to shoot any of this in Disneyland.
No, unfortunately.
That would have been quite the coup.
Jill says that they can go to Disneyland tonight. So we cut to Louis and JW listening to a recording of their conversation. JW demands to know how involved Jill and this man are, and Louis says all he's found are some notes that were written between them. Louis says that there's another thing, and he's hesitant to bring this up, but there's a problem with Tanya, which I assume is Amber Lynn's character.
Yeah, they don't have, as we mentioned several times, they don't get names. And I even, at one point in the movie, realized they didn't have names. I was like, right. We know a lot about these characters, but not even their names.
Right.
But, yeah, I guess Tanya is Amber Lynn?
I believe so.
We'll find out. Perhaps.
Louis hands a manila folder to JW with some papers and then leaves. JW looks inside the folder and starts smashing things and throwing shit all over his office.
Raging boa. What do you think about that? That's good, right?
I love it.
Thank you.
We cut to Jill laying back in a bubble bath masturbating. She's joined by Amber Lynn, who offers to wash her back. She disrobes and climbs in with Jill, caressing her skin and breasts. They giggle a bit, and Amber's continue to rub on her as Jill masturbates more. Jill whispers to Amber about being excited to see Winston tonight and how she hopes that he fucks the shit out of her. We see Louis and JW pull up at the house. JW tells Louis, remember, 7:45. Jill is getting dressed when the phone rings, and she answers it. It's JW telling her to meet in his room. She asks if it can wait until morning, but JW tells her to come now. We then cut to Louis knocking on Winston's hotel room door. He explains that Jill sent him to give Winston a ride. Winston's a little hesitant, but when Louis explains that he drives a limo, that's enough for him to excitedly follow Louis.
Yeah, you know, it's the regular fellow. He doesn't get to always ride in a limo.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Especially when one driven by a hired goon.
Yeah.
Hired gooner.
Oh, yeah. Jill joins JW in his room. He's nude other than the red robe he's wearing. JW tells her that he thinks they should spend more time together. Jill tells him that she was about to leave and that she never asked him for anything extra, but JW assures her that she's in for the evening and pulls down her pants and starts to paw on her ass. We see Louis lead Winston into the house and then cut back to Jill, who's now blowing JW.
Yeah.
As one can expect, moments later, Louis walks in through the door and motions for Winston to follow him. And Winston walks in just in time to see Jill blowing JW.
Yeah, they're cucking him.
JW makes Jill say that she works for him and that he owns her. He then makes her say that she loves him. He soon comes, and she seems very unenthusiastic and on the edge of tears, obviously. And that's even before she looks up and sees that Winston saw all of this.
Yeah.
Winston is shocked, obviously, and walks out. Upon realizing that he's left, Jill turns around to attack JW, but is knocked out by a chop from behind from Louis.
I don't have a chop button. Here we go. Walk of the week. Jill.
We see Winston rushing out the front door and collapsing in the grass. And he has a quick Vietnam flashback.
Yes.
Him on top of a woman in the grass. And then rushes away. We cut to Jill laying in bed. Amber walks in and comforts her. Jill says that JW was right. This was too good to be true. Amber asks Jill, what about Winston's feelings? Asking if she ever stops thinking about herself. Amber says that she and Babette are leaving, and says Jill can go if she wants, or she can stay and be a whore. Jill asks Amber if there's any chance of her winning Winston back. We see Winston walking down the street, and he's solicited by some sex workers that he quickly gets annoyed by and dispatches of by throwing a wad of money on the ground.
Yeah, it's really getting hassled.
Winston walks into his hotel room and is surprised to find Jill waiting for him there. He tells her to get out, but she says not until she gets a chance to explain. Jill asks why he had to come visit, adding that she was happy just sending letters. She admits to fucking for a living and adds that she's great at it, but she never held a gun to a man's head and blew his brains out when he did it.
What a sane thing to say to this man. Oh my God.
It's like, oh, so that's what's happening in the flashback.
Yeah.
I feel
like, you know, I might fuck for a living, but you know, I didn't kill a bunch of Viet Cong. And you're like, okay.
So Winston freaks the fuck out and asks how she knows that, and then he never told anyone that. She says no one told her, but she just knows.
Yeah, she somehow knows from his letters. She read between the lines.
I guess so.
To where he was tacitly, like, admitting to it. He'd always, like, refer to, like, an incident in, like, a passive voice.
Right.
And she's like, okay, I think I got it.
When Winston calms down, she tells him that she can forgive him for that and asks if he can forgive her.
I feel like those are a very different magnitude of actions. Like, it's war, but also, I don't know. I don't think you have to forgive someone for doing that.
Yeah.
I think killing people's bad enough. You don't got to add the rape on top of it. You're just kind of being an asshole at that point. On top of the killing. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know? I know. It's not right.
She tells Winston that she has to have him for herself. And if she can't get that, she'll die. They pause and look at each other for a moment. Then Winston pulls Jill towards him and they make out a bit. Winston pulls JW down onto the bed with her and unveils her breasts. He starts to suck on her nipples, and after a bit of this, they tear more clothes off, and Winston mounts Jill missionary and begins to fuck her. He pumps away for a minute or two and seemingly finishes inside her with his 15 years of pent-up jism.
Yeah, you know, I guess it's okay that she forgave him, because all this forgiveness helped fix his boner.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what's right now.
Winston rolls off of Jill and she caresses him a bit. Jill tells Winston they need to get out of there, and this will be the first place they check when they realize she's escaped. Winston asks, escaped? She tells him she'll explain later. We cut back to JW's office. He's on the phone with someone in the FBI who's apparently telling him that they don't have the jurisdiction to look for this missing woman. After hanging up, Louis tells JW that Amber and Babette were found, but Jill is still missing. Louis calls Rachel into his office and asks her where Jill is. Rachel asks, did you lose her? And Rachel says that she didn't know that she was missing. So JW asks if Rachel will help them, and she says that she will. JW asks what she knows about this guy Jill's been writing to. She identifies him as a park ranger, but doesn't know where to find him. Rachel tells JW this isn't any of her business, but she thinks JW should just let Jill go. JW just tells Rachel to get out.
Yeah. Get the fuck out of my office.
We cut to Winston's cabin, and he and Jill are naked, making out, caressing each other to some sax music. Jill rubs Winston's cock on her face, and then we see him fucking her doggy style for a bit, then missionary. Jill rides Winston in sitting cowgirl, then blows him a bit. He returns to give her some oral pleasure. We switch positions several times and get some fingering before we see Winston fucking her missionary and pulling out, dribbling his load onto her pubes. Mm-hmm. They make out more and we see them fucking missionary again. They finish again and make out more. Winston asks if Jill would consider marrying him. She stands up and throws on a short robe or long shirt. She lights up a cigarette. She asks Winston if he's speaking from his heart or his cock. She tells him that he's a nice, gentle, good man, and any woman would marry him in a minute. He tells her he doesn't want other women. He wants her. She tells him if he still wants to marry her in a month, she'll do it. They make out more. Then we cut to them waking up in the morning. Jill offers to make Winston breakfast while he sleeps. But Jill gets snatched out of bed and carried off while Winston is restrained and a gun's put in his face.
Taken away by goons.
Yes. Louis across the room is watching and he tells Winston that if he tries to see her again, he'll blow his dick off and stuff it down his throat. We cut to a plane touching down at an airport and then see Jill sitting in JW's room. JW walks in his red robe and tells Jill that he's glad to have her back. Jill calmly tells JW, it doesn't matter what he does. She won't work for him again. It doesn't matter what Louis does to her either. JW assures her that she'll work for him again. He says he bets that the next time that she gets out of line, Louis will kill her friend. Jill tells him that she'll be in her room and she storms off. We see Jill putting on makeup and staring in the mirror. She starts to panic and messes up her hair and smears cream on her face.
Yes.
And smashes the mirror with a flower pot.
Yeah, I love these kind of cinematic freakouts. There's one in the film Fat Girls with, I think it's Monique. She like goes on like a cruise or something earlier in the film.
Uh-huh.
And is like feeling confident and stuff. And then something happens where she's like, oh no, I'm just a fat girl. And she like destroys her entire room.
Oh.
It's so good. I love when they just smash a bunch of stuff up in the movies.
It is a great way to make a movie.
It's a great way to signal that your character is over it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we see Phil wandering through some hills where he finds Winston passed out in a pile of Michelobes.
Yeah.
Phil smashes a bottle, which makes Winston spring up in an OCD flashback, screaming, incoming, incoming! Once Winston realizes where he is, he tells Phil to get out of his life, and no more bubblegum or bullshit, he says. Winston takes a drink, and Phil calls him a pecker, and asks where he's been. Winston says that he took his advice and went to L.A. Phil says, well, I'm sorry, I thought things might work out. Winston says, well, she said that she'd marry me. Phil asks what the problem is then, and Winston reveals that she was a sex worker, and they took her back, gun to his head and everything. He tells Phil that he doesn't know what to do. Phil tells him, start by getting up. He tells him that he has to do something, and Winston says that he can't go there without doing damage, and he can't do that again. Phil asks, can't or won't?
Goading him into a mass shooting event.
Yes. So Phil asks Winston, what about her brother? And asks if he's going to leave her there to die like he left her brother?
Oh, Oh, yeah, because that was her brother in Vietnam.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's blaming him for her brother's death.
Oh, right, yeah. I hope this guy isn't his therapist. He's not great.
Winston throws Phil to the ground, and then they pause to collect themselves. Winston then tells Phil that, I'll need your help. Phil says, I hoped you'd say that.
Yeah, you get our predator moment.
So we see Babette on the floor of the house, bouncing a ball and playing jacks. Jill tells her to go to bed. Then we see Phil and Winston approaching the house as one of the goons that's guarding them and doing security is asleep on the couch.
Yeah, and they are dressed as commandos, of course.
Yeah, they're like in all black.
Yeah.
These security guards are like if you did security. He's just sleeping on a couch.
Well, you know, nothing will probably happen. You can probably take a little shut eye.
Winston and Phil sneak in. They're holding Uzis, by the way.
They are, yeah.
And they just walk past the sleeping security guard. Babette's still on the floor playing jacks, and Winston walks up beside her and asks where Jill is. Babette tells them that she's in her room. Winston asks where it is, and Babette says she'll tell them, but only if he gives her something. So Phil hands Winston some gum, which Babette accepts, before also taking the combat knife off of Winston's side to play with.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong?
I think we're setting something up here.
Babette points Winston in the right direction of Jill's room, and Winston and Phil take off. Winston walks into Jill's room and embraces her. Jill's worried that they're going to hurt Winston, and he tells her not to worry, that he'll get her out of there. Phil grabs Jill to lead her out, and then as they're walking across the room, Louis shoots Phil and he crumples to the floor. Winston then walks in and murders Louis in a room full of henchmen.
Yeah. Yeah, he just a spray of machine gun fire just takes all of them out.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
As Winston checks on Phil, JW walks in behind them, cocking his shotgun. He tells Jill that he didn't want it to end this way. Then he falls to his knees, and then falls face first on the floor, dead. Babette then walks in from behind him and tells Jill, I told you I'd kill him.
Yeah, she used that knife.
Winston looks around confused, and we fade in on Babette now reading a newspaper outside Winston's cabin. There's a headline that says, Butel stockholders elect new board to clean up scandal-ridden corporation.
Yeah. Most of the board got gunned down by machine gun fire. So you're going to have to elect some new people.
So Phil comes up behind Babette and tells her that she can read the comics later. Phil leads her down to an area where Winston's waiting beside a priest. There's also Amber and Billy there. We see Billy again from the back of the head.
Yeah.
Phil then leads Jill up to Winston. She holds Winston's hand as the priest begins their service. They're getting married. And then we freeze frame on this scene and get credits.
Everything ends happily.
Yeah, with marriage in front of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's where you would have marriage, I guess. You know, it's outside. It's nice. They're all out in the country.
Yeah.
I think Babette's like still just like a child.
Yeah, mentally. I think, she's still reading the comics, like a child.
Just stuck that way. I read the comics.
Yeah, like a child.
Oh.
That was Corporate Assets, so we're going to go ahead and take a break, and then we will be back to give our final thoughts on Corporate Assets.
That's a machine gun. I'm really easily influenced by the movies I watch.
Oh, yeah, that's bad for this movie.
Yeah. I want to go to Vietnam.
You're not allowed to go to Vietnam.
I'm going to go to Vietnam and I'm going to win the war because they wouldn't let us win it. And when I got back, I couldn't even keep a job washing cars. It's not really a good. That's not a good Stallone. It's not like phlegmy enough.
Yeah. So
all that is to say, I thought it was really cool when he killed all those people.
Yeah, that is cool.
I think that's awesome when someone does that.
Well, if you're going to get into that, we might as well go ahead and get started on
the Raincoat Review.
Just enough adult movies. They embrace like one adult theme, which is fucking. They don't embrace other cool adult themes, like killing.
Fair enough.
You know, this film has it all. No, I really like this one. I was kind of mixed on it when it got started.
Yeah.
But as it goes, it just continues to pick up steam until maybe one of the craziest final acts in an adult film I've ever seen.
It's pretty wild.
It's up there, right? Like, yeah. Disco Lady, like, the husband comes in with, like, a gun and stuff. But yeah. I don't think anyone actually gets murdered. Like, we've seen car crashes and everything. But no commando raids.
We haven't.
And that's so cool. And it's just kind of... I guess they're setting it up the whole time with him being a Vietnam vet, but I just... Right. The final act really does just kind of, like, pick up, like, way more in intensity than the rest of the film.
For sure, yeah.
I'd say the film itself is, like I said, it has some kind of, like, melodramatics to the plot.
Yeah.
It's, I guess, a film kind of ultimately about, like, a woman's, like, choices and desires in life. And not wanting to just be the pawn of some evil men and making your own choices.
Yeah.
But it's also a movie about a psycho Vietnam vet. And it's cool when movies are two things.
Well, and this isn't even the last movie about a psycho Vietnam
I'm so excited.
That we are going to cover in the next 2 weeks.
It's one of my passions, is figuring out what made them go so crazy. You know, I have some theories that I'll be bringing up in the next episode.
Okay.
But for this one, no, I really enjoyed, I think there's strong performances. Like you said, we have a stacked cast.
Yeah.
And you really get to see, like, people like Arbola and Herschel Savage, like, really, like, chew the scenery as villains.
Yeah.
And just get to be, like, exceedingly evil. You get nice, understated performances from a, understated, I guess, but, you know, like, nice minor performances from two legends in the form of Paul Thomas and Jamie Gillis.
Yeah.
They show up for a nice bit. All our ladies, very excellent, even though they weren't important enough to name all of them.
Yeah.
So I think I figured out one's named Tanya, and the other one, I believe, is named Morgana.
That could be.
I think I heard someone say that name at some point in the film in reference to one of the other girls.
Sure.
I don't remember which one, and who can say? But, no, I think this is generally a well-made film with a lot of surprises.
Yeah.
It combines hot sex with hot action.
Yeah.
It combines, you know, a little slice of melodrama. The nice big slice of psychodrama.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I do like that it's, like, partly, like, a romance film, but also partly, like, becomes, like, a thriller.
Yeah.
And it doesn't quite get into it as much, like, the nature of their business, but there probably would have been a way to make, like, an interesting, like, political thriller out of this.
Yeah.
As well, just because they're, like, a corporation that... It seems to be just a corporation that's just sex workers that... Just fuck, like, powerful people. Right? Is that what his business is?
No. I think that this business is some...
he has like an
big corporation, but okay. I think that on top of that, he has his prostitute program that he's using benefit his employees, because if you remember the very first guy.
The very first guy was like their top salesman. Right. She had the chart on her back. Yeah.
And Harry Reams also was top sales guy or whatever, but like
maybe they're just selling these women to powerful men. Did you ever think about that?
I guess I hadn't.
Yeah. It's there's layers to this film, but
how many layers are you gonna give it?
I'm gonna give it 4 layers. Okay. It's like a delicious wedding cake. and it ends with a wedding.
It does end with a wedding.
I don't really know that I have that many criticisms of it. There's definitely some like sloppiness to like how like the writing is handled in terms of like the like not naming certain characters and
right.
just kind of jumping from thing to thing at times. So it's not like an exceptionally deep film, but it is an exceptionally entertaining film.
Yeah.
It has some of that same sort of like kind of pessimism as like getting personal, but I don't think it's quite as well crafted a film as that.
Yeah.
Thus the half star less.
Yeah. I like this movie. There's a lot going for it. Stacked cast, as you said, the sex scenes are decent. Mostly good. But there's enough sexual violence involved in the sex scenes that kind of,
I guess that's true,
takes away from things for me a little bit. I'm going to give it 3.5 stars.
Yeah,
I guess I liked it a lot. And I think that the performances are good and they executed what they were doing well, but it's not necessarily all for me.
No, yeah, I could see that.
I do like the Lifetime level dramatics throughout the film. Those are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The fact that, yeah, Eric Edwards just turns into a killer at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And I love that he just murdered Louis and like 5 other guys at once.
It's just like one like just machine gun blast and there's like spots of red on their chest and they fall down. It's
perfect. Most like action type movies there would be a long fight scene between Louis and Winston.
Yeah. So they had to wrap this one up.
I enjoyed this movie, and I would recommend it to anybody who...
We should remake this one, but like focus on the Eric Edwards as like John Wick type.
Yes, I love it.
That would be a 5-star.
Yes.
I really dug it. Obviously, I watched the wrong film at first. My original ending note is everything ends happily. What a film. Too bad it was the wrong one.
honestly, after I picked Liquid Assets, I thought to myself, we should do Corporate Assets next, because I mixed those titles up in my head.
Yeah, it's
so I totally understand how you could have made the mistake.
Best to just get it out of the way, you know?
The only thing was that, and honestly, I didn't remember if I had picked Liquid or Corporate Assets, but I just went back to my text, to what I texted you, and that's was like, okay. That's the way to
do it. Yeah, my thing is when I, like, scroll through the films, is usually, since Corporate Assets comes up first, it's more burned in my memory.
Yeah,
I'm like, it's the one with the owl ladies on the cover.
Shit.
The two wise owls.
The owls are not what they seem.
They weren't. They were hot broads.
Yes.
But yeah, I would say, you know, definitely check this one out and check us out on the internet, mostly on Instagram now. It's been a while since I've updated the Twitter.
Mostly you should follow us on...
I'm getting here, okay. But mostly, most importantly of all, what Boss is chomping at the bit to tell you and kind of having a tantrum and throwing stuff around. Yeah, I
just threw my phone on the floor.
He got mad because I won't let him plug it, but it's at patreon.com/raincoatreport. For $5 a month, you get to get 2 extra episodes of us goofballs just kind of goofing around. We're trying to loosen up the format a bit more. We're trying something new this coming week.
Yeah, we're going to talk about all the adult news past and future.
Yeah, we're going to talk about adult news, everything that was fit to print circa 1983. We're going to go back and cover the first edition of the adult video newspaper.
Yes.
The
the like newsletter.
Pamphlet? Yeah,
I think it's more of a newsletter at the beginning.
Yeah, eventually it'll become too much for us to read.
Yes, but
for now it's a manageable 10 or so pages. We're gonna break it down for you. We got Stephanie.
Yes, the patrons asked for more Stephanie and Sally, and this week we've got Stephanie. She's in charge of covering some modern adult news,
yeah,
and I don't know how it's going to go, so we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we have not put any, like, we're not supervising her.
Yeah.
We're not going to fact check any of it. That's important.
Yeah.
You can believe it or not. Our show's a lot like Ripley's. So, whether you believe it or not, don't forget your raincoat.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here together in the presence of these witnesses